we're going to do. We're in this series on Advent, and Advent is a beautiful thing because it stirs hope and expectation that by the grace of God leads to encounter. Encounter with God is what changes us. It's what transforms us, you know? Hope is that knowing the surety of the things that God has said, and that builds expectation. And where there's expectation, that's where there's possibility, like, for God to really meet with us. And so that's what we're in for these few weeks here as we're leading up to our Christmas services. And I want to spend some time this morning talking about His home among us. His home among us. You know, I think around this time of year, you know, we hear sayings like home for the holidays. And these times can be extremely different on so many levels based on our current experience or what we've walked through, you know, this past year. And I want to kind of give us some maybe fresh perspective, a little different angle on what Advent brought to us and how His home is among us and how that is a game changer on a massive proportion. So we're going to start out by jumping into this message by looking at a dialogue that's taking place between a spiritual father and a son in the faith. And I have this longing in my heart to truly see the generations connected. Like where fathers and mothers are connecting with sons and daughters and the wisdom and the experience and all the realms of our growth in Jesus are able to be imparted and given away to the next generation. And that's exactly what's going on here with Paul, and it has to do with this whole concept of his home among us. So look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 8, "So don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner." Now imagine, Paul is incarcerated for righteousness' sake. And yet he is in this space 100% home with God and with himself. And it's out of this place that he says to Timothy, "Take your share of suffering for the message along with the rest of us." Now that's not like a jolly word over Christmas season, right? So he puts some perspective on it because there's a grace reality to the price that we pay, if you will, for being followers of Jesus. He says, we can only keep going, after all, by the power of God. How many of you know that this is not about our own strength here as we journey with the Lord here on the earth? It's by the power of God that we're able to do what we do. If you don't understand that, man, you are missing a massive foundation. That's why at the Harbor we are unashamedly all about the power of God. And he says this power of God who first saved us and then called us to this holy work. And he said we had nothing to do with it. It was his idea. So there's nothing in ourselves as the power of God is working through us that we can actually boast in, right? And that's actually a healthy thing. All the glory goes to the Lord. He said it was a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. But listen to this, what he says in verse 10. But we know it now. You see, I want to put something in your heart today. That by the grace of God through encounter, you can walk out of here and say, I didn't know that before, but I know it now. And I'm not talking intellectually, I'm talking like heart-level encounter with truth that will stabilize you and solidify you in this walk with Jesus. But we know it now. And what was he saying? Since the appearance of our Savior, Advent. Since his coming. Nothing could be plainer, he says. Death defeated. life vindicated in a steady blaze of light. All. Say that with me. All. Through the work of Jesus. Now, when we're trying to, I think home is such a massive word and such an important word, especially in our Christian faith. It's that way in culture. Everybody is longing for a place to call home. And I think the community of faith is, you know, I remember years ago when we first started the Harbor, we had this dream that people would walk into a meeting like this or into a small group or into whatever realm of engagement or connection, and they would go, oh my God, this feels like home. Home, by definition, could be a residence, could be a social unit, could be a familial setting. But I want you to think about those three, which is where we experience such disillusionment on many levels. What if you don't have a residence? What about the homeless? Can there be a home for them? Social unit, you know, where there's connection relationally. What happens when you move to a new city and you don't know anybody or you're in that season of life? I remember it when I moved to South Carolina. I just didn't have any connection and I felt so alone. What about a familial setting? When family begins to break apart, are we, you know, me and Wendy are talking about this. It's going to be the first Christmas without my mom. I mean, you know, I'm looking for that setting where everything feels right, and yet she's absent from our reality. What are we going to do in those times? So the home among us that I want to talk about is actually the last definition, which is a place of origin. Home for us as believers is returning by the grace of God to the original intent that He had for us at the beginning of creation. So look at John chapter 1. Look what he says. This is profound. Verse 14, he says, so the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Now, looking into John chapter 1, you guys know that chapter on some level fairly well, but this is my paraphrase of it. In the beginning was the Word, or Jesus. That's actually talking about Him. And Jesus was God, was with God, and Jesus was God. And Jesus, or God, became human and made His home among us. Man, could we, by the grace of God, see this morning? Because there's a profound thought about Advent that I don't even think I really saw the illumination of it until I was studying this. But I want you to think about this. At the beginning, or the Genesis, we were created in the image of God, human, and we made our home among the Godhead. We see this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So we were created in Him as His image, and we made our home among the Godhead. But at His coming, or the advent of Jesus, God recreated Himself in our image, and He made His home among us. What? Do we understand the implications of this, the reasoning for this, the purpose of this? It was all about home, so that we could return to the place of our origin. Identity. You know, as we're heading on this true north journey to transformed people, transforming culture, it's really at the end of the day about understanding and having revelation on three major things. We could give our life to these three things, You know, and man, if we just got this, I believe we'd have it all. It's knowing who we are. And because of that, knowing that we have the potential to have a real intimate relationship with God. And that number three, because of that, we've been called into this cosmic destiny of the Lord. To see something historical happen on the earth. So when I look at Advent, and I want you to write this down. I want you to take note of this, because when we look at Advent, there's two major things going on at the coming of Jesus. Number one is the revealing of the potency of Christ. When God is referred to as the omnipotent one, do you know what that means? That means the one filled with all potential. In other words, there's nothing lacking in him. It's the potency of Christ. At the first Advent, it was his revealing. I am the light of the world. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 78. He says, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light of heaven is about to break upon us. But it gets even better. John says in chapter 1, verse 5, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Never. So no matter what we see, what we experience, what's going on in culture, what's happening in the world, what's happening in our lives, there has to be revelation that this light that has broke into the darkness from heaven and that now shines in the midst of the darkness can never be extinguished. But that's only half of the story. Because there's a whole second half, and this is where it involves you and me. Which is this. Advent is also about the purpose of Christ. Not just the potency of Christ. And it's not just his revealing, it's our revealing. And please hear that in the right perspective and right order. It was his revealing first. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. But then he also came to us and says, you are the light of the world. Church, that changes everything. But we, Sunday after Sunday, church meeting after church meeting, celebrate the light of the world, Jesus. And even maybe grasp his potency, but we don't realize the very realm of potency that we ourselves carry as his sons and his daughters. Because let's go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 78 that I just read to you, and let's see context here. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light of heaven is about to break in upon us. Awesome. But for what reason? To give light to those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to a path of peace. Home. Home in the midst of whatever is coming against us and whatever we are experiencing, we are at peace. We are not in confusion. We are not caught up in the swirl of the Christmas season. We are filled with the shalom of God. As my Brazilian friends would say, paz de Senhor. Our revealing. Paul's clear about this. In chapter 8, verse 19 of Romans, for all of creation is waiting eagerly. Listen, I got to tell you this. You just have to download it. Super simple. A Strong's Concordance. And whenever you read the Bible and you want to go a little deeper, just click on those words and find the root meaning, or actually go back and look at the original translation, because I love these translations, but there's some stuff that's thrown in here that will throw us off if we don't go a little deeper. Because when it says in verse 19, all of creation is waiting eagerly, it literally means to expect fully. So creation is not like, oh, well, hopefully it's going to happen. There's an expectation in creation itself for sons and daughters to be revealed. And then when it says that future day, did you know that that's added? That's not even in the original translation. God bless the New Living Translation, but that's not even in the original text. So just take it like this. For all of creation is expecting fully when God will reveal who His children really are. That's what it's literally saying. Now, reveal is where we get the word revelation. And we know that in order to receive revelation, we must have grace to perceive it. You can't be revealed unless you have revelation. And revelation can't come unless we're able to perceive. So look at this with me. In 2 Timothy, is Paul is talking to this young protege. He says in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "And now the prize," we're going to see what that actually is, "awaits me," or actually it literally means, "is appointed for me." Listen to me. You got to say this over your heart. There is something appointed for me. It's not for Sam or Julie or Justin or some other. There is a prize appointed for you. And he says this, "the crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day." Now you need to understand what that word, you know, we put everything in a future tense so often with God. And we're missing what He's wanting to do now, and we're just trying to make it through the struggle. But the day here, it literally is the word hemera, which means the time between dawn and dark. In other words, it's the second half of the day. Dark to dawn is the first half. Dawn to dark is the second half. It's the time of day where anything and everything is possible. Old Testament, New Testament. Old Covenant, New Covenant. Dawn to dark is the time of possibility. And of His return is actually added again to the text. And He says, "And the prize is not just for me." Now look at this. "But for all who eagerly look forward," agape, it's actually the word agapeo, which means to love, "His appearing." Where there's this like, oh my God, there's this earnest expectation where we love the appearing of God. Appearing is this. You got to catch me. I know I'm going a little deeper here with technical stuff, but you got to perceive this. Appearing is the Greek word ephemia, which means a manifestation. And we throw that word around a lot in charismatic circles, but it literally means something capable of being perceived. So we're loving His appearing, or the moments when we can actually perceive what the bejesus is going on. Come on, you ever been in those moments where you're like, oh man, I don't feel home. I don't feel safe. I feel like all the, but yet there's this pressing in. If you can come into the place of love, because love is what it's all about. It's never about fear. If you go into a space of fear to find revelation, you will never discover revelation. It has to be found in love. It has to be found in agapeo. But when we come into that place, there is the manifestation where we're able to perceive. So when we look at Revelation 21, verse 3, John is saying, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people and God Himself will be with them.' Is that talking fully about some reservation for a future day? Because John says the Word became human and made his home among us. Chapter 1, verse 14. What does that mean, to make his home? I'm wrapping this up. It's the word skino, which means a tent. Because we know Jesus did not have a literal home, right? He did not have a place to lay his head. But yet he made his home among us. He was occupying. He was residing. It's the same exact language where we see that God resided in the temple in the Old Testament. Did you know that God came down into that temple and he resided in the holy place? But it also means to dwell in a fixed position. Who, interestingly enough, or what, I was probably should have said, and then rather who is and where he dwelling? Inside of you. Inside of me. We're looking for home out here, and he's saying home has come right on in here. Ooh. It started with Jesus. We see in John chapter 14, verse 10, he says, "Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me." In fact, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Listen to this message at your own risk. Disclosure. Because this could change the world. Are we going to go through another Christmas? And, oh, the little baby Jesus under the tree? Or are we going to realize what actually took place? Because John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, "I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Verse 17, "The Spirit of truth with whom the world," or the system outside of heaven, "that cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him." Inability to perceive. "But you know him, for he dwells." He's, listen to me, he's not here and then gone. One moment it's strong, one moment it's not so strong. No, it's a fixed position. Get out of your head. Get out of your feelings. Get out of your, no. I don't feel God. I don't know if God's with me. I don't know, where did God go? I need to just hide for a little while till God can know. No. Listen, God is with you. God is in you. God is in a fixed position right in the center of your heart. He says in verse 18, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." We need to break the orphan mentality as the church. We are sons and daughters of God. James chapter 4, verse 5. I love this verse. It says, "Do you think that the Scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who..." Come on, say it. "The Spirit who in us yearns, desires with jealousy." The language here is so strong. It literally means lust. It's like it's this overall enwhelming, encompassing desire of God that is inside of us, that is yearning, that is longing to break out of us by us having perception of home on the inside of our hearts. As I close this out, I have to bring this to you to give this, full balanced perspective. There is tension. There is tension between the process that we're now in and the fullness that we're going to see manifest by the grace of God. I have I have no other bar for my family, for my marriage, for my relationship with my children, for the power of the glory of God that I carry on the inside, other than fullness. Do you hear me? There's no other diminished expectation in my heart. I've apprehended something. I've grabbed a hold of something. That this is my aim. Beauty, glory, wonder in my home. Beauty, glory, wonder in what I carry out into the world. But there is a tension. Because Paul wraps up, and this is where we'll close today, with the finality of this message to Timothy. He said, this is the message, everything I've just told you this morning, I've been preaching on, that I've been set apart to proclaim as a preacher, an emissary, and a teacher. It's awesome. Verse 12, we don't really hear about that much because we don't really know how to face it. We don't really know how to navigate it. But he says, it's also the cause of all of this trouble that I'm in. I'm telling you, listen, church, there is way more for us than we could ever imagine in terms of beauty and glory and God moving and all this stuff. And man, if you give yourself to that through perception and revelation and application, because faith without works is dead, right? We're going to take what we received, we're going to put it into action. It's going to cost us everything. Everything. Merry Christmas. Let's go have lunch. Amen. All right. But he says this, I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. The one, here it is, because this is what relationship's all about. I've trusted in. Lord, all I want for Christmas is more trust. Can take care of what he's trusted me to do. Now think about that. That is mind-blowing. Can we trust in God who has trusted in us? It's actually like we it takes the pressure off. It's like, all we have to do is come into trust with him, and he's already got his trust in us. You could even be saying, I don't even trust myself. It's okay, God does. He trusts his work in you because the work that he began, he will complete. The potency of it's so powerful, it's so strong. But do you trust in God? So he says to Timothy, verse 13, keep it your work. Church, keep going. Don't ever stop. Don't let anything stop from the assignment that you have in this life. We have one life. Why are we sitting in this room? Why did we have revelation of Jesus and not the person down the street? I don't know. There's a mystery to that. But don't stop. This faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you, he tells the young apostle, it's as sound as the day you first heard it from me. You see, because sometimes we could look at a mentor, someone else going through a difficulty. Can you imagine? This is young Timothy looking up to Paul, and Paul's in prison. Paul's about to lose his life. And instead of Paul saying, Timothy, what were we thinking? Run for the hills. Paul had found home through Advent. He understood and understood his origin in God. That didn't have anything to do with a nice place to live or everything kosher with the family or having a bunch of friends and all that being perfect, which is all legitimate, by the way. So he tells Timothy, just like Justin was saying this morning about our hearts, he says, guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. There is a real life Grinch, and he's come to steal that gift from you. I love it in the New King James, same exact verse. Chapter 1, verse 14, he says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So the keeping is not like, oh, I got to hold on to this. No, it's already fixed in you. The keeping is the trust. Listen, there's power on this message this morning because this is where everything, all the rubber meets the road. It's in these moments where things don't feel like home. Do we realize Advent? The potency of Jesus. The omnipotent one. That as light has shined into the darkness cannot extinguish it. His revealing, I am the light of the world. But the purpose of Christ is Advent as well. Your revealing, the sons and daughters of God, the creation itself, certain of your revealing. You are the light of the world. And somehow the fullness, and I don't know how this is all going to go down, but we're going to capture this. We're going to have this revelation. We're going to move into this. And in perfect unison, it's going to come to a crescendo, and then Jesus will join us. Because we're not waiting for Him for some rescue mission, for some distance and delayed reality. No, it's upon us now. He has made His home among us. The river of God is flowing through the streets. You are the oaks of righteousness. The leaves that are falling off of you are for the healing of the nations. Darren, I've messed up. Darren, I've blown it. Darren, I don't think I'm engaged in this. Listen, trust in God who already trusts in you. And that's an Advent message that I can grab a hold of. Could we just sit for just a minute? Could we just close your eyes? I want you to just let the presence of the Lord that's in here right now and just the revelation that's flowing. Could you just in this window, this one moment, could you just say, God, help me not just to have heard what was been said, but let me take it in. Let this be the foundation for my life. Come on, verbalize it to Him. Just say, Lord, here I am. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Darren, there's all kinds of confusion going on. There's things, there's circumstances. Listen, let that go. God, get that out of the room. God, let the moment of the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God, let the revelation, God, let the perception come. God, let the trust be established. Let all the lies that the enemy's trying to breathe into our hearts and our minds about who God is and what He's truly up to, God, let them just fall. Let them just disintegrate in the presence of the Omnipotent One. God, let Your potential come. Let it shatter the darkness, God. Come and break into this region by breaking into our lives, Lord. Let us be the carriers of this glory that is already planted, fixed, immovable, whether we feel it or not, on the inside of our very being. Could you even whisper it? Could you say, God, I trust You. I trust You. Like, Lord, even, I believe, but even help my unbelief. Just whatever You can give them. Just come on, a corporate response today that's going to shift some things. It's going to move some things. Lord, I trust You. Even when I don't see it, I don't see the answer. I don't see tomorrow. I don't see the way it's going to happen. Lord, somehow I trust You for breakthrough because You are the great breaker. God, You are the one that came and shined in the midst of darkness, God, when all hope was lost, when a nation that was to be a light of the world sat under the shadow of death. God, You came right into the midst of it, and You shook and blew the roof right off of the top of it. God, in fact, You went onto that cross, and You took all that darkness upon Yourself, every single sin, every single space of brokenness, and You carried it, and You went right down into the midst of the grave, and You sat face to face with Satan himself, and You went, You took those keys right on back. Woo! You took them back, God, and You are in possession of them. Whoa! You recreated Yourself in the form of a human. And You made Your home among us. Everything was reversed. Everything was taken back in that moment. And now You're just saying to us, steward what I've given you. Steward it through intimacy, out of the understanding of who You actually are. Come back to Your origin. Come back home. Maybe everything's not okay in your marriage. Maybe everything's not kosher in your extended family. Maybe you don't even have a home right now. Maybe you're renting. Maybe you're not even renting. Maybe you're couch surfing. It doesn't matter. God has made a home on the inside of you. This is your portion. This is where you'll find peace. Oh, if I could only get married, then I'll be at peace. Lie. If I only could have a nice house on the intercoastal, then I'll be happy and at peace. Lie. If all the drama in my family would just go away, then I'll be okay on the inside. Lie. We're okay, God, because You're okay. And that leaven is on the inside, and it can't help but be a river. It yearns. It's longing. It's wanting to get out. It's wanting to explode. It's wanting to come out. God, help us to perceive it. We love You, Lord. As Sarah plays, we're going to dismiss, but we're going to have our ministry teams here. Maybe there's something I've said this morning that's hit home in your heart, and you need to come and respond to it. You need to say, you know what, I need to enter into a place of trust again with God. Maybe you don't trust yourself, and you're looking to that for your answer. Listen, get off that horse and come and ride another one. It's called the white horse. It's called Jesus. Maybe you don't know Him. Maybe you don't know Him at all. Come and have a relationship with God. You know, so often we sit in church and we write off everybody else's relationship and off the worship and everybody else that's having these relationships with Jesus. And yet we can't even find in 1 hour by ourselves any contentment, any hope. Listen, you've got to be able to carry that for yourself. Maybe there's stuff afflicting your body and you need healing for sickness and disease. We're going to pray for you today. Come on up. Let's all stand in Jesus' name as we go. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your grace, Your understanding, Your revelation that You've given us, God. Thank You that we can see a little clearer. You've given us perspective, and it's helped us today. God, we love You and we worship You.